Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, Mr. Ryan, a conservative, a potential presidential nominee, has put out a budget which has just made people either furious or, you know, big fans. So can you tell us a little bit?
Right. You know, instead of calling it the Ryan budget, and he absolutely is a representative from Wisconsin who's the chair of the budget committee in the House, I would refer to it as the Washington Republican budget. You know, many people have said to me, including Republicans that I represent, that they're very discouraged by the approach being taken, where, you know, you provide in this case for tax cuts, additional tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, and raise the taxes on the great many of us who are in that middle-income community block. It's theorized that with that Washington Republican budget, that if you have a child, at least one child, a middle-income family with child will pay at least $2,000 more in taxes. The average tax reduction for the millionaire-billionaire set is $200,000+. So on average, you get a $200,000 break, all to theoretically provide for this trickle-down, which we know didn't work in the 80s, hasn't worked since then, and will not work today, in my opinion.
The theory being that rich people will spend more money and therefore more people will be employed.
And I don't know what happened. Perhaps it went to Swiss banks or whatever, or people just got to bulk up more in the luxury column. But it did not grow the economy. That's evident. Look at the recession that gripped this economy, the American economy, and the international economy. It brought this economy to its knees, and it's been a steady climb out since March of 2009. But, you know, this is the sort of showboat politics in the Washington Republican plan that gets us in trouble. Their theory is cut your way to prosperity. I believe, like many of my Democratic colleagues, that we need to invest our way to a strong tomorrow, the best recovery. You know, the cuts that are made so that millionaires and billionaires can get this awesome tax cut are painful. They're programs that speak to the everyday needs of the working families, of the working poor. You know, one that really caught my eye was the cuts to Amtrak. Not only do they deplete the funding for high-speed rail, and we are woefully underfunding rail in this country in comparison to our competitor nations, but we're also then going to undo service from the New York City to Albany run, the Albany to Niagara Falls run, and the Adirondack run, and the Ethan Allen run. These are important. I mean, I'm on that train. And to cut these out, you're going to affect 36 states worth that is in the neighborhood of 20 million people that are going to be impacted by these cuts to Amtrak. Now, that's not helping commerce. That's not helping working families. Rail is the most energy-efficient form of travel, and so now we're dumbing that down with the Washington Republican budget.
Will it stand?
I would hope not. I would hope that in a bipartisan way, the Senate will take a look, as it did at some other issues, and come up with a much sounder plan. But, you know, I vote against this budget because of its cruel nature. It is so insensitive to the needs of Head Start students. When you cut hundreds of thousands of opportunities for Head Start, you're now taking that child that needs that extra underpinning in the formative years and the formal beginning of their education process, and really reducing their opportunity.
Now, I noticed, Paul Tonko, that you continually come back to the good things that the Senate does as opposed to the things that you deplore, you know, among the Republican budget, for example. Nate Silver, you know, quite frequently gets it right. He's a brilliant political analyst, says that the chances of the Republicans taking the Senate are very good, in which case you would have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and you couldn't sit here anymore and say, look at the good thing that the Senate Democrats have done versus the Republicans in the House. What would that look like? Would that be chaos?
Oh, I think you'd have chaos. You know, we're into an innovation economy. We're into a global race on high-tech, clean energy, innovation. And if we're not competitive, if we don't bulk up with our strengths, we're not going to win that race. You know, it's similar to the global race on space, where it was just two nations, but U.S. beat USSR in that race to put a flag on the moon. And that opened all sorts of opportunities for this economy. Technology-wise, we were impacting every sector of the economy to the favorable. That was important, and it enabled us to maintain a worldwide status, leadership status. I'm worried about us not doing well enough in this international sweepstake. And if you dumb down, if you reduce research monies, if you reduce infrastructure dollars, if you reduce higher ed and education funding, that is not the formula for success. That doesn't get you into the race with that competitive edge that you require. And it would be a sad outcome if we just walked away from the intellectual capacity of this nation, which, by the way, has been nurtured by several federal programs, Pell Grants and the like, that are threatened with this Washington Republican plan, this budget plan. These are not the times to cut the austere budgets didn't work in several economies around the world. Why do we think it would work here? The trickle-down didn't work. What we need to do is invest soundly, wisely, effectively. And I think it was the message that goes back to 2010 when we had our congressional elections and the 2012 batch.
Well, what would you do as an individual actor if this catastrophic, according to you, thing happens and the Republicans take the Senate and have the Senate and the House? I mean, how would that change your job?
Well, it certainly would become even more intensified to do the public information, public education exchange. People need to know, you know, the glory of our, the beauty of our democracy, of our republic, is that we have choices. And people just need to know the stark differences that result from the choices we make here. This is one that's very much into cutting programs and plans for groups that have needed this sort of empowerment to be able to compete and to operate and function within this global innovation economy. And our nation, with its pioneer spirit, shouldn't be denied
those investments. So would you be walking around with Excedrin in your pocket?
Yes, I probably would be. But, you know, you get worried for many of these programs that took forever to initiate, and you build upon them. And all I ask is that my colleagues, Republican and Democrat alike, step back and look at the progress that was achieved by several of these programs, where you've really strengthened the fabric of the country and the individual and families. And that shouldn't be denied. You know, we've just got to deal with facts here. And the fact that remains that if you disinvest in rail and other infrastructure, if you disinvest in water treatment, water facilities programs, as this budget would do, there's a growing burden on the local governments of this country.
But do people care about it?
Well,
I mean, you know,
should,
you say
because
people's eyes glass over, and mm-hmm. you say, you know, water treatment plants and this and that. Do people really care? Is that enough to get them off their duffs in order to vote one way or the other?
Well, you know, I think there is a pain quotient that happens, and sometimes it's too late. And what you're trying to do is forewarn people. But, you know, I see some very deep-rooted pain here that can come with the lack of investment. And, you know, we can gloat that, you know, we can profess, as the supporters of the Washington Republican plan would, that government's the problem, it's too big, it's got to be denied, we have to cut back. Then you see what these cuts are about. You know, the investment in research is where private sector simply won't go. The risk might be so great, and we shave some of that risk away, and we're able to do wonderful things, GPS and all sorts of work with contact lenses and laser surgery. And all. This is inspired by research that the federal government has, you know, provided a shot in the arm for. There are many, many things that are done that we don't pay attention to, and unfortunately, it's that dose of pain that may finally, you know, shock our senses, that will get us to say, whoa, we've gone too deep here. And that, I think, is the situation right now with this plan.
Paul Tonko, love having you here.
Thank you.
You're always right on the mark in terms of being able to transmit information that we wouldn't have otherwise, and I really thank you for it.
Oh, my pleasure.